1039 LI News Radio. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and listen live 24/7 at linewsradio.com.
The ongoing problem of clergy abuse, all taking up speed, especially in the Long Island area. Here to talk about it, Laura Aaron. She's the executive director of Megan's Law. Nice and join us for a couple of minutes talking about the music teacher in North Patchogue going back to the year 2015. We say very good morning to Laura. Laura, how are you?
Good. Good, Jay. How are you?
Well, this is an ongoing conversation we keep having. You know, it's you know, you talk about the revelations from the Pennsylvania situation from a couple of weeks ago where you have 1,000 or so victims, but really, you know, it's all over. It's on Long Island. It's what's happening within the Diocese of Rockville Center. We turn to John Barris. We're turning to the Pope now. We're turning to somebody who can make some headway into all of this stuff. But, you know, I've said this all along. It's about the cover-up as well. It's worldwide. It's got to be stopped.
Exactly. It is about the cover-up, but it's also what has the Catholic Church done? Policies and procedures have they put into place since all of this broke back in the early 2000s? We had Bishop Murphy come here from Boston, where it was all exposed what was happening, the largest cover-up of the sexual victimization of children in the history of our world. So we had Bishop Murphy come here, and what we found out was that Bishop Murphy had transferred priests around who had credible allegations of sexually victimizing children. They would just find different locations for them to work in, and they literally started a priest placement service where Father Surrett, a father up in the Boston Archdiocese, he had been accused of sexually victimizing boys, and Bishop Murphy put him in charge of finding new spots for priests that had accusations. I mean, it's just outrageous, the perpetuation of the institution, regardless of the victimization. In fact, despite the victimization, they continued to cover up. So when Bishop Murphy came here, what we saw was a complete attempt to try to put into place anything that would cover his tracks of what he had done in Boston. So there was actually, we spoke with the U.S. attorney in Boston, and there was a secret grand jury convened, and Bishop Murphy had to testify. Cardinal Law, they were looking to do a RICO on them, and that was unsuccessful. However, what Bishop Murphy did here is he put into place procedures and policies, but something that always was a problem for us is that they did not bring in outside organizations to do sexual abuse prevention in their schools, which I think is, that's the mark of an organization or an institution that is really serious about preventing sexual victimization, because they're willing to bring in qualified, fingerprinted, highly trained professionals from the outside of their institution to do prevention education. And to this day, they will not do that. And I spoke with Bishop Murphy many years ago about this. And instead of putting organizations like ours, which is a certified rape crisis center with trained educators, most of them retired district attorneys or teachers who are fingerprinted, to bring us into those schools. Instead, he started a public war between outside organizations and the Catholic Church. So if they're really serious, Jay, what they will do is bring in outside organizations, rape crisis centers, to help educate children about what they can do to protect themselves from individuals that are going to try to violate boundaries, ultimately to sexually victimize them. They're not doing that. And when they continue to act in an insular way, we're going to continue to have children being sexually victimized. We're educating adults, but we also need to educate children as well.
And no question, Laura, and we're with us, Megan's Law. You know, I'll tell you this much. You know, you look at the scandals, you look at the cover-ups, they continue. Multiple states, though, you know, you look at the church. I mean, Laura, let's face it, they have resisted efforts to reform statute of limitation laws to allow people abused as children, sometimes decades ago, to actually seek compensation all through civil lawsuits there. So, you know, you look at the church here and these resisting efforts, you know, you wonder when is it going to change? And, you know, it has to regarding the statute of limitations. I mean, to me, you know, it takes one or two. We've seen that until we get a tidal wave here. But, you know, there has to be reforms in place.
There does. And when I met with Bishop Murphy when he came here, because I am Catholic, and it is important to me, whether I'm Catholic or any other religion, it would be important to me to meet with the leader. And in this case, it was Bishop Murphy. And when I met with him, I specifically asked him why he did not call the police when all of those cases of children being sexually victimized at the hands of priests, why he did not call the police. And he said because he didn't have to. He did not have a legal obligation to, is what he said. So I said, well, don't you think you had a moral obligation? And he never answered. He never answered that question. So the institution has to be serious about affecting a change. And the way to do that is to bring in outside organizations. And I can't stress this enough, because the Virtuous program, back in the beginning, when they put that program into place, which is a sexual abuse prevention training program for folks that are volunteering and working in the diocese, that program was written by their insurance company. I think that that says volumes about their seriousness. They're serious about preventing liability, but they're not so serious about protecting children from sexual victimization, because if they were, they would provide programs that are up to date. We have 15 age-appropriate programs that we've educated over 165,000 children and their parents on Long Island alone. So that program has been successful. We've had children disclosing that there was sexual victimization that had occurred in their life and stopping the victimization. So the fear they have is that if we're in their schools, that someone might disclose. If they disclose, that's going straight to the police. And they can control it if they don't bring in outside organizations. That's their fear. And if they are serious, they will overcome that fear and they will bring in organizations to do that prevention. That will protect children.
No question. And let's face it, there is an entrenched type infrastructure of secrecy. I mean, that's what it is secrecy in the Catholic Church. And it continues, Laura, unfortunately, to reward concealment rather than disclosure. That's what it's all about. You know, I mean, you look at why the Catholic Church continues to struggle with this, you know, and still remains so much to be hidden under the clergy sex abuse all across the United States. You know, you're talking about the concealment. I mean, this is where it lies as far as the church is concerned, as far as I'm concerned, rather than disclosing. And we talk about, you know, the overall, the cover-up, you know, so to speak.
Yes, the policies and procedures that are in place to report, I mean, they are a lot better than they used to be, but the problem is it still goes back to the fear of somebody saying something. If they say something, then it's going to become weaponized. So the way to deal with that is to mandate reporting. But the problem is, in the Catholic Church, they're subjected to their own law, which is canon law. So what we did here in New York State, and actually across the country, in colleges when there was sexual assault going on, we now, because of the new program with the Governor Cuomo's Enough is Enough program, implemented by Kathy Hochul, that program gave rape crisis centers across the state funding to do prevention education programs in colleges to empower rape crisis centers like ours to work with college timeline coordinators to help them understand that there are outside organizations. And they brought us in to talk to their students, which to me, that's when you know an organization or institution is on their way to affecting great change, where they're allowing organizations to come in and talk directly with their constituency so that if a disclosure does occur, that student in colleges now knows that they can go to outside organizations and understand what all of their options are. But if you're like the Catholic Church and you keep it insular and you conceal, like you had just said, and you just perpetuate that concealing secrecy, then children and even their staff are going to be afraid to disclose if something happens. So the idea is we want to be able to have the Catholic schools be required to to do this educational programming with outside organizations, but it's been impossible. We, back in the early 2000s, we made that attempt, and Bishop Murphy was more focused on whether or not organizations were funding any other agencies they disagreed with. So they're more concerned, again, with the institution than with their own children. So for us, it's going to take a change. We feel it's going to take a change in education law to mandate they do outside programming.
No question, Laura, and with us, the executive director of Megas Law. I mean, let's face it. The Catholic Church, Laura, has shown itself to be incapable and just untrustworthy of managing this problem on its own. I mean, that's what it is. And they need for some sort of outside source to come in, and they need to be accountable, and that the victim-centered experts to help them deal with this. They can't do it. They cannot deal with the problem internally, and that's the whole thing. You know, they need to put concerted energy into an external, some sort of an independent analysis of what has enabled this problem for so long, and then systematically clean it up. I mean, that's really what it is. There's an admittance that has to be put in place, and there has to be an outside source to kind of come in here and help, at least help clean up this mess.
There does, and their fear is that if that outside source is brought in, that they will disclose what they discover. And, you know, there has to be a point in time where they trust an outside source so that they can solve the problem, because their liability has been, as you've seen, millions and millions of dollars awarded, and through the IRCP programs, the same. There's a lot of money that is being given to victims to settle cases, and I'm glad that they finally started to do that. But at the same time, it's not going to end. You know, the recent cases that are coming up are still symptomatic of the fact that they're not educating their children and their staff. The Virtuous program is a program that was designed initially a long time ago to prevent liability. It does not get into the types of discussions that have to be had. You know, they're afraid that when we're in a classroom with kindergartners that we're going to say anatomical words. And, you know, we are in public schools, which I think has a greater level of responsibility and accountability to parents. Our programs don't do that. We teach kids what the discomfort is. We teach children that the individuals that are a danger to them are the ones that make them feel uncomfortable, because sexual abuse is about a violation of a boundary. And these priests engage children in a process known as grooming. And it's giving love, attention, and affection to a child who is vulnerable. And any child is vulnerable to that, especially if somebody's in a position of trust. So these are basic concepts that we have to teach those kids, and they don't want those concepts brought in because they want priests somehow, you know, revered beyond, you know, the closest to God you can get. And, you know, I think everybody by now knows that the Catholic Church was an opportunity for predators to prey. So recognizing that we need to be able to educate their children, I think, would be a first great step to demonstrating their commitment to putting an end to the victimization of children in this institution.
I want to see more from the Pope as well, Laura. I mean, Pope Francis, I know, has accepted resignations all over the place. You know, the retired Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, former Archbishop of Washington, D.C., was accused of sexually abusing a minor. That was nearly 50 years ago. I mean, you know, it just goes on and on. The situation in Pennsylvania, his name was Paulson, if I'm not mistaken, where he was one of 300 predator priests identified in that sweeping grand jury report that detailed abuse in six Catholic dioceses across Pennsylvania. And I think, you know, as we stated in the first part of the conversation, that's where you have the 1,000 victims or so. So I think Pope Francis, you know, it's good to accept the resignation, but you have to have total condemnation of this stuff from the leader himself. I think that would go a long way. It's the first time I can remember in a long time where you have a sitting pope who's actually making some statements, but it has to continue.
Yeah, it does. It has to continue, and there has to be drastic measures taken. Again, you know, and I sound like I'm repeating myself, but it really will make a big difference, as it has made a big difference. We've seen in New York State when the law changed and it required outside organizations to be involved in some degree with college sexual assault, with disclosures. So when you bring in that outside organization, you're now bringing in similar to how we deal with crimes in the criminal justice system. Look, in the criminal justice system, we're dealing with law enforcement investigating, prosecution prosecuting, but then advocacy organizations that are there as well to ensure that crime victims are provided the support and services they're entitled to under the law. So similarly, when you bring in an outside organization to do educational programming, they're trained and they're up to date on what the different techniques that sexual predators will use to try to access kids, and they can recognize that behavior. I mean, in the cases that I've dealt with in my private practice related to sexual abuse, specifically priests, they use their position of trust, and it's absolutely horrendous, the things that they did and the extents they went to, becoming specifically a priest in charge of the altar servers so that they could target prepubescent boys, or going out in social circles with other priests who had teenage boys as their sexual partners, teenage boys. So, and they would socialize together. So what Bishop Murphy told me years ago was that the sexual victimization of children was cultural in the Catholic Church. It was cultural in the institution. So if you're going to change this outrageous culture of victimizing children and covering it up, you better bring in outside organizations so that you can be trusted with that population. For me, I would have deep concern about sending my children into an environment alone where there are individuals that have not been trained specifically on detecting, reporting sexual victimization, and even protecting children from sexual victimization. The public schools have brought in our organization to do adult prevention education and to work with their children as young as pre-K in some of the districts here in Nassau and Suffolk. Pre-K all the way up through 12th grade, and then college students. So what more do they need to be able to trust an organization that has had a commitment and has hired professionals that have worked with the organization for decades? What more does the institution need? I mean, we're here, we're ready to go in and to educate their children, but they won't. It makes no sense, Jay.
No sense at all, and I'll tell you this in summation. You know, with all this stuff we're talking about with the church, you know, you hope Albany is listening when session gets underway once again and finally cement some legislation that you and I have spoken about over the last year or so. I mean, finally moves them to do something, not just bits and pieces here, but I'm talking about stuff we've been talking about for years that they're still trying to formulate. And it's unacceptable when you have a session ending and they don't do it. And that is a major problem I'll have with all of them. I'll tell you that much. And if this doesn't move them to sit down and close doors and come out when finally something is done, I don't know what will. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, with the session limitations, definitely they need to open up a window to allow for civil claims to be brought so that there can be justice. And also there needs to be an extension of the SOL on sexual limitations on sex crimes. In 2006, we did that with under the Pataki administration, where we lifted the SOL on A and B felonies, on A and B sex crimes, so that they can be brought at any time. But that's not the case with all sex crimes, so that needs to be changed. And also, Jay, for listeners, one of the most important concepts for everyone to know is that you can be a person that can help protect children from sexual victimization. You can be it. You can be a person that can help that simply by taking an online class that we have on our website, and it's called Guardian for Children, because anyone can learn to protect children. The best line of defense, obviously, is parents, but parents need to understand that anybody who is trying to spend more time with your child than you, anyone who is trying to take your child alone on outings and trips, anyone that wants to make your child the apple of their eye, watch out, because that's a person who is violating boundaries. There's nothing wrong with adults treating children as special. but there is something wrong with a teacher who singles out a particular child or a volunteer or a neighbor or a family member who wants your child alone. That's a warning sign. And listen the first time that somebody shows you that part of themselves, because that's the part of a person that can victimize your child. So parents need to be aware that anyone who spends more time with their child than them is a potential danger to their child.
No question. Big topic. We'll continue to watch. I'll tell you that much. Nobody does it better than Laura. Laura, always a pleasure. We'll talk soon on this.
Thanks, Jay. Take care.